Tony, where are you going with this? I'm really going to the essence of giving your life what you deserve, which is knowing that there are no mistakes, knowing that every little thing you do has a consequence. It can be a positive consequence if you choose it. The most powerful thing that has consequence in your life, though, is the thing we talk about so often, but I got to say it again, and that is what's really ultimately shaping our lives are our decisions. The first decision is a decision about what to focus on. Where your focus goes is going to determine how you think, how you feel, what you do, ultimately what your life turns out like, what you're able to contribute. The bottom line is we must find an empowering focus out of any situation. The second decision that shapes our life and the meaning of our lives are the decisions that we make about what something means. Meaning is ultimately something we determine. That's the exciting part about it, and that's the scary part about it. And the third decision, of course, is what are you going to do when something happens? See, so much of the fear that we see in life comes from the fact that most of us don't feel like we're in control. We're running around trying to control all the events of our lives, and every single one of us is going to experience multiple situations in our life, no matter how skillful we are, where we cannot control the event, where it's just not something that we can control because we didn't initiate it. Anytime you're dealing with other people, this is going to happen. Anytime you're dealing with Mother Nature, this is going to happen. Most of us in life are so afraid something's going to happen that we can't control, and therefore we're going to get pain, that we try to avoid those things we can't control. We try to shape our lives, where we spend our time, who we spend our time with, what we do, by environments that we feel really comfortable in, where we feel like we're really in control in them. But what that does is it limits the shape and quality of our lives. We've got to be willing to put ourselves out there to discover what we're really capable of when we're put in environments when we don't know what to do, when we don't know what things mean, when we're not sure. It's in those environments that we grow the most. It's in those environments that we discover more of our true purpose as human beings. It's there that our character is shaped. You know, so many times we set goals or we have dreams or we have plans and we work our tail off and it doesn't come out the way we want. And a lot of people come out of those situations disillusioned or angry or resentful or frustrated. They look for someone to blame. But, you know, sometimes I really truly believe that not getting your goal is part of the design. It's part of the game plan, causing you to dig inside and discover more of yourself, to really begin to use your real capacity as a human being, those traits that are within you that only expand when they're challenged, when demands are made upon them. You know, I truly believe that God is not so much interested in our convenience as he is in our character. You know, and I also believe that because something hasn't happened right away when you wanted it and designed it didn't work out, doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's really a test of how committed are you. It's really a test designed to make you become more. God's delays are not God's denials, unless you give up, of course. If you don't do your part, then of course, whatever you've envisioned will never come to be. But we have to be willing to continue to put ourselves forth and know that events will show up that we can't control. So let me ask you a question. You go, okay, I understand all this, Tony, but how do you ever have a sense of certainty in a world that's changing all the time where you set goals, you do all the right things, and it still doesn't always turn out right? How do you live in a world where suddenly something can happen? It could take away your whole business, or, you know, a storm could come and take away your home, or some calamity could happen to your personal family, or a disease could hit, or someone could die. How do you deal with all that? And the answer is, you have to know the one thing you can control is not events. What you control is what things mean to you. And therein comes the secret to life. Because no matter what happens in your life, the meaning of what has happened is yours. You get to determine it as long as you're conscious and you don't allow the people around you to teach you what to think. And as long as you don't just go on automatic pilot and allow your nervous system to make up connections that are false. Let me give an example of what happens to people. Certainly by now you realize that what you do as a human being is primarily driven by your need to avoid pain and your desire for pleasure, right? But see, all of us have learned through life that certain things mean more pain than others. And so some people are driven by their fear, right? To experience the emotion of fear is the most incredible, painful thing they could ever imagine, so they'll do anything to avoid being in a fearful situation. Other people are driven by their desire to feel the sense of adventure. Obviously, they make decisions differently. They focus on different things in life. They can walk in the same room as someone who lives in fear, and they're going to notice different things. They're going to want to sit in a different place. They're going to want to try a different kind of vacation than someone who's trying to focus on how to be secure. What drives you? Are you driven by guilt? Are you driven by your past? When we use the word driven, the word drive, it really means to guide, to control, or to direct something. So what's guiding you? What's controlling you? What's directing your behavior? What's directing your focus? What's directing the meaning you're pulling from your life? What is it? Is it your parents? Is it the competition you have with somebody else? Is it wanting to prove somebody wrong? Is it your desire to contribute? Is it your desire for joy or happiness? Or is it a sense of purpose that's driving you? A sense there's something out there for you to do. There's something you're designed to evolve into, to become, to share, to give, to create. You don't even know what it is. But you're willing to trust that each day more of it's going to come out. See, whatever drives you, that's what's shaping your life. And the challenge is that most of us never consciously decide what we're going to have drive our life. See, we're not stimulus response animals, but we can be stimulus response animals. Our nervous systems are designed to help us. They're designed to be a source of decision making. They're designed to help us very quickly when we have an experience, figure out what is the source of that pain so we can avoid it in the future. What is that source of that pleasure so we can have more of it in the future? But when we don't think things through, when we don't think things through in an empowering way, when we don't have faith that there's a higher meaning, we tend to settle like animals for the lowest meaning that we can find. Well, this is happening because I'm a bad person. This is happening because there's something wrong with me. This is happening because I'm just destined to fail. Or worse, very often in life, we don't even consciously think things through. Our nervous system just makes quick decisions. Hey, every moment you're alive, whenever you have a significant amount of pain, your brain says, hey, what is the source of this pain? And it uses three criteria, I'm sure you remember, to determine what the source of your pain is. It looks for something that is happening about the same time you're having the pain that is unique. Because after all, you weren't feeling pain a moment ago. You got pain now. What's unique about this situation? It looks for something that is recent. Something's happening about the same time you have the pain. And it also looks for something that is consistent. Something that whenever you've had pain in the past, this has also been a factor in that situation. Let me tell you how these three criteria can help you. You go out one day when you're a child and you touch a hot stove. You feel some pain. You pull it back. Your brain says, okay, what was unique to that moment that gave me the pain? It looks around and says, ah, this burner, right? And it says, what was happening about the same time I felt the pain? I was touching this burner. And what's consistent about it? Well, maybe nothing until you do it again. After doing it two or three times, or maybe one time because it hurt enough, maybe one time is consistent. It's like when somebody says to you, you always do that. You, I don't always do that. You, yes, you do. You always do it. I've done it one time. Yeah, but, well, that's always. Well, human beings can make a one time consistent if it's painful enough. So the bottom line is, what do you learn? Your nervous system learns you don't grab burners. Right? You just don't do that. And so in the future, when you're trying to make a decision about what to focus on, what things mean and what to do, and you're going by a burner, one of the options is not to go grab that baby just for fun. So as basic as this lesson is, we fail to realize that this simple system that assists us so much in making decisions because it helps us discover what is the source of our pain or our pleasure so we can avoid the pain, gain the pleasure in the future. This simple system can be misguided or misinterpret information. See, here's how it works. I'll give you an example. I was doing a date with Destiny only a couple weekends ago, and several people were having major challenges in their life. And one lady just couldn't get herself to really have any meaning in her life. And as I kept digging, the real problem that she had is she felt lonely because she felt disconnected because she wanted to have someone she could share her life with. But she couldn't get herself to do that. Why would you guess someone couldn't get themselves to be able to share their life? Not hard to figure out, is it? Pain. Person obviously, as I guessed, had a painful relationship in the past, which she had. It was so painful that she'd linked up in her head that marriage, because she'd had a previous one that was painful, equals death. Well, that'd kind of keep you away from getting too close a relationship, right? How did her brain do that? Well, she said she was in this relationship. It was so great. But after they got married, this man became physically abusive, verbally abusive. He basically did everything he could to control every aspect of her life. And the worst thing of all, when she finally developed the courage to divorce this man, he threatened not only her life, but he also threatened their own son's life. Now, when that happened, she got linked up. Marriage equals death to not only me, but potential loss of the life of my child. That's even more than the loss of her own life for her. Well, it's not too hard to figure out that if your brain says, why am I feeling this ultimate pain? And it looks for something unique and says, well, because I'm married. And then it looks around and says, what was happening about the same time I felt the pain? Marriage. And you say, what was consistent during the pain? You go, marriage. Pretty soon you're going to avoid marriage, but it doesn't stop there. Her brain also linked up that the cause of her pain was something else too, men. Because after all, what was unique? I had this man around. I was married to a man, right? And then secondly, what else was going on? Well, about the same time I was feeling the pain, I was with this man. And sure enough, what was recent? This man. Right around the time I had the pain, he was there every time. So sure enough, all of a sudden she's avoiding all men. But it didn't stop there. She also linked up that the reason she felt this pain was because she trusted. So as a result, her brain linked up unconsciously, if you trust, then you will die. Now, I would say to you the opposite is true. If you don't trust, if you don't have faith, then you instantly die internally. You may not die physically, but you die emotionally. Because anything that's worth living in life requires faith. It requires trusting. It requires knowing that you can get out of the chair and walk on this floor, and when you step out on the floor, you don't stop and have to analyze, can I do this? And you don't weigh everything and think about your weight and the structure of the floor and what's underneath it. You just trust. Otherwise, you'd be immobilized. You have to trust to drive a car. You have to have faith to enter a relationship. You have faith to start a business. You have to have faith when all of a sudden somebody at this company says these 35,000 people are gone. You have to have faith that if you're one of those 35,000, that there is a better plan for you and that you will now act on that faith and take action and find that better plan, that better solution for your life. You must have that. When you lose trust, you lose meaning. When you lose meaning, you lose your life. Again, maybe not physically, but certainly emotionally. And when you lose it emotionally, the physical loss of life often is not that far behind. Medical researchers are now proving that the mind-body connection is not some psychobabble, but a physical reality, that the way we think and the way we feel about our lives affects us physically. In fact, Dr. Chopra recently shared with me that there was a new study that was done in the state of Massachusetts where they began to study what causes someone to die of their first heart attack before the age of 50, where they never get another chance. In other words, what was the number one risk factor they wanted to know? And they assumed that what would cause someone to die from just their very first heart attack, never get another chance, would be a person just had so much cholesterol in their body wasn't able to recover. And they found out that was not the number one risk factor. Then they thought, well, maybe they had diabetes. Maybe it was more of a genetic factor. They once again disproved that theory. What the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare for the state of Massachusetts states in their article clearly is the most important risk factor to determine that you will die of your first heart attack and not get a second chance is what they call job dissatisfaction. You got to have a deeper meaning for your life than, oh, I'm on that grindstone again or I'm on that treadmill. No wonder most people in life turn to alcohol or drugs or television. And even then they can't find something to entertain themselves. Even then they don't sense any fulfillment because distraction does not create a life of significance. Distraction does not create joy. Distraction will not give you what you're seeking. Drugs will not change your life for the better. Right? What they'll do is hurt you. They'll create pain. And there are all kinds of drugs. Anything that doesn't expand you as a human being or allow you to share more love and joy with others in a natural way that enhances your physiology and your mind, your emotions and your spirit is something you probably don't need. You got to grow. You got to expand. You got to contribute. You got to know that you're here for a purpose. There are no mistakes. There is a meaning. Even if you haven't found it yet, you must discover it. And you know what? For most people, they don't discover the meaning of their life until their life is over. What a sad place to be. Or until they have a life-threatening illness. Or until somebody very close to them that they love is about to leave them. You don't have to wait for the pain to discover the meaning. You say, well, how will I know when I found the purpose of my life? You decide what it is. You discover it and you decide, this is it. And maybe later on I'll refine it. I probably will. But for right now, this is why I'm playing the game of life. This is what it's about. Every day, if I'm just being this way, if I'm just doing these kinds of simple things with other people, with myself, then I know I'm on track. I know there's a reason for my existence. We all have that. Now, I know you know the story of Viktor Frankl, right? The man who wrote Man's Search for Meaning. Here's a man who's in a Nazi concentration camp with pain everywhere around him, knowing at any moment he could be gassed or maybe spared. And if he was spared, he'd have the unique privilege of going out and taking the dead bodies out of those gas chambers, putting them in the big ovens. Talk about intense. And yet somehow in the midst of that pain, he found a deeper meaning. The meaning was that even though he was in pain in the moment, that somehow someday he would survive this and he would come to share the story so that this would never happen to other people in the future. He couldn't find a meaning in the moment. He found a meaning in the future. And for most of us, the meaning that we want for our lives is here today, and it's preparing us for an even greater meaning in the future if we'll just use all of our life's experience, the pain and the pleasure, to become more, to prepare ourselves for whatever it is that our Creator has brought us here for, to prepare ourselves so that at the moment of truth when we are needed, we will deliver. And my real belief is we're going to be delivering all along the way. It isn't something that someday you're going to do. It's something you every day are doing today.